Indeed, you're supposed to say it with excitement, because if he hadn't risen, then you have no hope. You have no hope at all. You're just going to be something words can feed on later. All right? So are you ready? He is risen!
He is risen indeed!
Amen. Amen. Let's stand and continue to stand for the reading of the word. This is from Mark chapter 16. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll away the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? I'll stop right there. Sound like a lot of faith, does it? Jesus had told them all along his life and ministry that he was going to die and raise again in 3 days. And here they say, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And they entered the tomb and saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling, I can imagine. I would be trembling. And bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Today you have a choice, every one of us here. You can choose puny religion, or you can have resurrection power. You can have puny religion or powerful resurrection. Religious people are puny, but resurrected people are powerful. Let me name a few resurrected people who had an encounter with Jesus Christ and their life was never changed. You've heard their names before. They are resurrected people. They are not religious people. Mother Teresa, John Wesley, Billy Graham, and maybe you can add your name to that list too. They seem to be spiritual giants. But you're a spiritual giant if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and you faithfully follow him and obey his word. The definition of religion is this, a belief system you live by. A lot of people have a belief system they live by that has nothing to do with Jesus, has nothing to do with God. And they say that they're not religious, but they religiously follow their belief system and not following God. So religion is just a thing. It's not a person. It is a philosophy, a style of living. Resurrection is a person. A person resurrected from the dead. The person who represents God and is God rose from the dead. In the early 1920s, I believe I tell this story every Easter because Easter is my favorite Sunday. Praise God. Not only does everybody come, and they probably say, why is it whenever I come to church, all I hear is the message on resurrection? Well, you need to come more than just on Easter. I don't preach the same sermon every Sunday. Hello? But I tell the story almost every Easter because in the early 1920s, in communist Russia, the churches were closed. It was against the law to go to church. If you had a prayer meeting in your house, if you had a Bible study in your house, you would be arrested and you would be put in prison. Bibles were outlawed. You could not have any kind of religious gathering, especially if it was Christian. Christianity was totally outlawed. So instead, what they would ask you to do, and they commanded you to do, as a good citizen of Russia, and to be a good communist, you had to go to those communist rallies, and you had to attend so many a year. And they'd have some great speaker who was a communist who would stand up there, and would speak on all the glories and all the wonders of communism. And people would sit there, bored, half out of their gourd. And this one time, a Russian Orthodox priest couldn't take it anymore. And he yelled out as a communist speaker was speaking, he said, "He is risen!" And the communist speaker could hardly hear him, but about 15 or 20 people said, "He's risen indeed." The priest was quite taken by that, so he did it again. He yelled a little bit louder. He said, "He is risen!" And this time, maybe 50 or 60 people in the crowd said, "He's risen indeed!" He said, "Well, I'm on a roll now. I might as well keep going." The common speaker still speaking. This time he says, "He is risen." This time hundreds of people said, "He's risen indeed." Now the communist speaker was totally interrupted. He couldn't speak anymore on the glories of Christianity, because now the priest was really on a roll, and he yelled it again and again. He said, "He is risen." And now thousands of people stood to their feet and they said, "He is risen indeed." You see, they tried to stomp out Christianity. They tried to stomp out God. They tried to stomp out Christ in communist countries, but they couldn't do it. Christ is risen. You cannot stop out the power of an almighty God. He is alive, he is real, and he changes life and he transforms life. I would like us to concentrate today on the words that we read earlier, verse 3, where the women said, "Who will roll the stone away?" Those are words of puny religious people. They thought they were just going to a monument in memory of Jesus. They had forgotten his teaching that he said that he was the resurrection and the life. And he said to them, "I am the resurrection and life. If you believe this, you shall never die." They didn't get it, did they? A lot of times we don't get it either, do we? They had not encountered the living, resurrected Jesus Christ yet. That's why. Number one, if you want to jot down notes as we go along, these words symbolize dead religion. Who will roll the stone away? It's a confession of being powerless and trying to live life on our own. When we don't have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our life, we have to rely upon our own human strength. I want to tell you, my mother just died, and I had to drive all the way to New York and all the way back. And my human strength, I couldn't do it. And this morning, after I went to the sunrise service, I heard that someone who was really close to me and works with me in the office every day, son, died. And I ran over to their house. I didn't have time to look over the sermon, so I don't even know what I'm preaching today. And poor Liv's son has passed away, and she's in shock. And the reason why I'm saying this is, in human strength, it's so hard to go through the things that we go through in life. But once we look to the resurrected Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the Prince of Peace, and my peace passes and transcends all human understanding," you can go through hell or high water. You can go through anything. You can go through the grief. You can go through the pain of life, because Jesus Christ goes into the very valley of the shadow of death with you. And he's the resurrected one, and he will take your hand and he will march you through whatever you need to be marched through. Do not lose your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Human wisdom is not enough. If Jesus had not risen, we'd have no hope for living today or tomorrow. No future. We'd have no reason for living if he'd not risen. We would just say, as the old scripture says, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die." This is it. This is all we have. If this is all we have, then you might as well live it out the best that you can and just do whatever you want. And many people have taken that, and the borders and the boundaries have been taken down, and there's no standards, and people are doing whatever they want. I heard on the radio as we were driving back from New York that a judge now ruled for a person that they wanted to be neither sex. They're asexual now. They're not a man or a woman. I read in my Bible that God has made man in his image, male and female. Then that same judge had ruled earlier for a person to say that they were a man and a woman. Talk about decay. Talk about morality. Talk about standards being down. You can be anything you want. Pretty soon you can go to court and say, "I'm a rabbit." Maybe you want to be Harvey the Rabbit. I don't know. What's going on? It's because they have puny religion. We have a resurrected Savior. We have resurrection power through Jesus Christ. If that doesn't excite you, nothing's going to excite you. I don't care if the Royals win the World Series for the next 20 years. If that's all that excites you, then you need something else. You need a true encounter with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you just got puny religion. Boy, this guy is not very nice for us today, is he? No, I'm telling you the truth. And Jesus said, when the truth is being preached, you'll be set free, and you'll be free indeed. Some of us need to let some chains go today. We have no joy in living if Jesus has not risen. You don't have much to look forward to except for a coffin and some dirt and maybe some worms chewing on us later on. Or for some of you to choose to be taken into a furnace and turned into ashes. That's all you have before you without the true story and the history, the historical fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If today you have no hope, you have no reason for living, no joy, you need Jesus. If anything needs to be preached in our churches today, if we never preached anything else, we just need to tell people, you need Jesus. I need Jesus. We need Jesus. Amen. Number two, these words, who will roll the stone away, shows us that man's devotion to God is dead without the Spirit of power. A dead Jesus is a devotion to a memory. It's like visiting a headstone. But like going to visit my sister-in-law, who's buried here in the King City Cemetery. Really can't have any conversation with her. She can't talk back to me. I can talk to her. We need the Spirit's power to be infused in us with our belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A dead Jesus is just a memory, just visiting a monument or a headstone. That's what religion is. An empty tomb shows us that God is alive and well and full of power to beat any problem in life. A sealed tomb means we're just here. What we do with our lives really don't matter. Oh, hum. There's no value to human life without knowing the resurrected Jesus Christ. Our lives just become a disposable place. Burn them, throw them out like trash. An empty tomb gives us priceless value to life because it's eternal. It's more valuable than all the gold and silver and diamonds and money in the world, the resurrection. Our devotion to God is dead without the Spirit's power. That same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within you if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you begin to follow Him. See, a lot of people believe, the demons believe, Satan believes, but that didn't change their behavior. They're not saved. We have to do more than believe. We need to follow Him and obey Him. Some people think that word obey is wrong. I think obey is a good word, because when you get on the highway and it says, go 65, it's for your good sake. I'll admit, pastors are the worst drivers out there. So don't be surprised someday if you see Bonnie driving around because I have my license taken away. They say they're one of the worst drivers because we always have something on our mind. We're always preparing a sermon or what we're going to say to that grieving person. So at least we're doing something good while we're getting speeding tickets, all right? Don't judge us. Listen to the Bible. Listen to this empty tomb verse from Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. And it says this, and if the same Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. In other words, He will give life in your body when you have no strength. He will give you energy to face the challenges of life. And I'm looking forward to the new resurrected body that I'm going to have. I am going to be thin. I'm going to have an athletic build, which is much better than this athletic build. I'm a wrestler right now. I'm going to be young. We have a lot to look forward to. Listen to this resurrection an empty tomb verse from John 6 and 63. It says, "A spirit gives life. Our flesh counts for nothing." That's why Bobby had the kids pinch themselves earlier. This flesh means nothing. When I saw my mother in her casket, that was not my mother. Didn't look nothing like her. And worse than all, they put lipstick on her that she would never wear. And it drove my niece nuts. She goes, "We need to go get some red lipstick and put on Grandma." She was really going to go get some red lipstick and go right to the casket while people were coming to visit and put some red lipstick. But that was not my mother. I've seen pictures of my mother when she was 17, and she just looked decrepit, just withered, just unhuman as she laid in that casket. Because the spirit gives life, our flesh counts for nothing. Real life starts with knowing the resurrected Jesus Christ. My mother is now with Jesus Christ. She has a new body. She can walk again. She can run again. She can shout again. She can laugh again. She can tell her jokes again. She thought she was a comedian, but we never could get her a chance to go on Last Comic Standing. Here's another empty tomb scripture from Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Don't you love that? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray. I didn't even know how to pray all the way up to New York and all the way back. But my spirit was bearing witness with God's Spirit, the resurrected Jesus Christ, the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, is dwelling within me, and my spirit growing within me. And that was my prayer. And God kept me through it, and He gave me the strength that I needed. Oh, the resurrected Jesus makes us strong in the times of adversity and tragedy. I love what 1 Timothy says about the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in us. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power." I need to quote that to myself sometimes when I get over anxious. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. Life doesn't have to overwhelm us. We can get control of life with the Spirit's help. Amen? All right, 4 people believe that. Amen? All right, just see if you're out here enough. Number 3, looking up is the key to successful living. It says in the scriptures there, "But when they looked up," oh, I love that. They were looking around. Where's Jesus? What happened? But when they looked up, they saw that the very large stone was rolled away. They were going to treat His body with ointments and perfumes. And they were looking down and they were looking around at the trial and the problems they were going through. But when they looked up, the scripture says the very large stone was rolled away. It was impossible for man to roll away. Wow. We need to be looking up in these days where our redemption is drawing near. If you're looking at other people, especially if you're looking at church people, you've got puny religion. And it will only bring death to you spiritually. If you're looking up, you've got powerful resurrection life. If you're looking at the organized church, guess what? You've got puny religion. But if you're looking up, you've got powerful resurrection and you've got life. The church, you know, is the only vehicle that's going to get us to everlasting life. It's going to get us to heaven. The church is the only airplane Jesus is flying. Did you know that? And He's the pilot. And so often we're looking at our problems and we're looking at other people and we're looking at people in the church. And Jesus is saying, "Look up at me. I'm the pilot of your life. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. You wouldn't even have faith if I didn't give you that faith. Look to me. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe?" And then He says, "If you do, you shall never die." Never die. Praise God. Pray with me. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God today. We thank You that the news that You've given us is good news. And Lord, help us to spread it and to share it to every person that we know. Help us to shout it from our rooftops. Help us to have the enthusiasm and the excitement to tell others about Jesus, the risen Savior. Lord, help us to wear t-shirts to say Jesus. Help us to get excited about Jesus as much as we're excited about other things in this world. And Lord, I just pray for every person that's here today that, Lord, you would bless them with a new encounter and a new touch from the living Savior, Jesus Christ. And I ask it in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.